Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, I was watching the news about tragedy that had taken place in Israel, and it occurred to me that the United States and Israel have come together and found common ground on at least one point. The aim of both countries has been and is to slow down or destroy Iran's nuclear program. How do you accomplish that? Well, they decided to put a virus into the computer network that was used by the Iranians to build a bomb. One virus placed in the server affected all those computers that were connected. And the problem is, of course, that you lose your information, you lose the history of everything you've done. Everything is destroyed. Because once that virus is inside the computer network, it has the possibility of destroying the network and all the computers that are connected to it from within. Unless the virus is detected and an antidote put in place, that's exactly what will happen. In other words, unless something happens to break the connection of the network, it will be destroyed. The same scenario can be applied to our own power grid and other things as well, of course. It is something that people with computers understand. They understand the networking and how each computer that is networked is vulnerable to whatever goes into the server. You find that you can't get out of the network unless you have a standalone computer. I want you to think about that a moment, because it helps us to understand who Jesus really is. The standalone computer that's not in the network and doesn't have itself subject to the virus can only be attacked from the outside by the old baseball bat method. You can destroy it only by reaching to it and wreaking harm into it. The computer that was a standalone, unconnected to the worldly network, was named Jesus. And it helps explain how he could be fully human, yet free from sin. Because the virus that each of us is connected to is sin. We're all born part of that fallen world that is Satan's network. It explains why he was fully God and fully holy, because he was set apart. My great aunt, Johnny, was a daughter of the American Revolution, and she wanted all of those people who were in the family, all the children of the family, to be sons and daughters of the American Revolution and the Texas Revolution, and so she spent a whole lot of money that she could have given to me. She spent a whole lot of money before Roots was ever on television tracing our family tree through a specialist who did that sort of thing. And he traced our family tree back to 1066, the Norman conquest of England. We were those who came in conquest. You see, it showed that my family started with a whole tribe of Vikings. And there were other people in my family. As you came back from 1066, there were all kinds of people. It was Michael Faraday, who was a great chemist and discovered the benzene as an element. And he was also a physicist, and he discovered the theory of being able to take electricity and having it be a conduit through other things. There were also some scallywags. John Wesley Hardin, who killed 47 people, not counting anybody who wasn't just like him. There are all kinds of people. Colonels in the American Revolutionary War. Irish rock singers. Just like you, my family was filled with heroes and scallywags. With people we're not really happy to be acquainted with and people that we're very honored. But you see, you and I go far back, much further than 1066. Because no matter what your skin pigmentation is, no matter what culture you came out of, no matter what language you currently speak, we all go back a long way because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We all go back to Adam and Eve. Each and every one of us. That's where our real DNA is. Not just in the few heroes and scallywags that we have in our closet someplace, but all the way back to a couple that originally was holy. You know, people don't talk about that often. They don't talk about Adam and Eve being holy, but they were. They walked in the presence of God. They were holy. And then Satan came along and used a baseball bat. He took a few swings at them, and just like most of us, they succumb. And once he placed that virus inside them, that seed of sin, they passed it on to you and I. Each of us have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All except one, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who never sinned. He is holy. Yet he is fully human like you and I. Let's go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask to be a part of your network. Father, we ask that you will free us from this bondage of sin that we have been. We've grown in all of our lives. Father, help us to break free of that. And be more like Jesus, your Son. Father, help us to understand your word. Help us to understand Jesus. For in him we see you. He said, when you look at me, you've seen the Father. When you hear me, you've heard the Father. Father, let us hear him now. Cast out all the things that are distracting to us. May we focus entirely on you. Father, cast my words out. They are nothing. They're just bits of information that sputter from the lips of a fallen and corrupt man. Father, we ask to hear from you today. For your words are words of life and death. We ask to hear from you that you might touch us, heal us from our afflictions, give us strength to carry on. Father, help us as we come into your presence this very moment. May your Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Speak to every heart in whatever language they speak. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us look at Luke chapter 4. I'm going to start with the first verse. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I give to you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. For it is written that you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, and he set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, you shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands you shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It has been said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So the question is, if Jesus is God, can he be tempted? The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus is the second Adam. You see, Adam and Eve were without sin. They walked in the garden with God. You don't get into the presence of God without being holy. Only holiness can come into the presence of a holy God. And so they walked in that garden with him. And Satan had to use a method other than the one that is used with you and I to get into them, his virus of sin. He had to confront them with a baseball bat. He came to them and he took swing one. He said, Do you really say that, did God really say you must not eat from every tree in the garden? See, what he was trying to do, he was trying to confuse Eve. He was trying to get her to say, well, maybe God said something else. He was trying to get her to twist the word of God. He was trying to get her knowledge of God to try to use against her faith in God. She knew that God was a God of grace and mercy. And now the devil's trying to use that knowledge that she had to confuse her mind and make her feel as though she could, in fact, eat of the tree. Maybe God wasn't really saying she shouldn't. Strike one was a direct base hit. Jesus tried again. And Satan tried again. He tried with swing in verse number 4. You will surely not die. You're not going to die. He's taking on again the word of God. He's trying to make her presume that God, in his mercy, will never let her die. He created you, after all. Why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? Why? And that's what he's trying to put into Eve. He's trying to convince her with his second swing of the bat that God will certainly not do what God said he would do. You know, if you hear that today, perhaps you hear someone say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. That's the same swing of the bat. When someone says, God doesn't heal anymore, that's the same swing of the bat. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God is God. Satan tries to destroy that. And so he gets another direct hit. And he swings the third time. Verse number 5. You will be like God if you eat of this tree. That's the ambition of every man, to be equal with God. Many of us have always put ourselves on the throne that is reserved for God. We've tried to usurp God. We've tried to make our own decisions instead of going the way that God told us to do. Satan knows this, and so he uses it to hit that ball right out of the park. Because Adam and Eve bought the arguments that he put forward. And sin entered in to each and every one of them. It says in Romans 5:19, through disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. Satan was batting 1,000. Every time he batted, he hit it out of the park. Then Jesus was born. And Jesus was born out of network. He wasn't a part of the network. You know, if you want to go to see a doctor who's out of network, you're going to have to reach into your own pocket to do it because the insurance isn't going to pay for it. Jesus is out of network with Satan. And he was born. And so what does that do to Satan? Satan's plan. He hasn't confronted anyone like that since Adam and Eve. And so the first thing he does is he tries to influence Herod to make sure he kills all the babies. But Herod failed. And so, Satan went into action. The battle was on. Now, Satan had to reach once again for his bat. He had to come against the Holy One of God and confront him face to face. In Luke 4, 1 and 2, it says that when Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they were ended, he was hungry. God always takes the initiative. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Jesus didn't go on his own. Jesus went there because he was led there. Satan reached for that bat because Jesus, who walked into the desert, like Adam, who was in the garden, were two separate locations, but the strategy of Satan remained the same. Jesus came to destroy the work of Satan, and he would triumph where Adam failed. Adam and Eve were in the garden. Jesus was not in the garden. He had been led by the Spirit into a place where he would hunger. Verses 3 and 4. But Jesus answered him, saying, the devil said, if you are the Son of God, listen to that, if you are the Son of God, what's he trying to do? He's trying to use the same strategy he used on Eve. Who are you really? Do you really think that you've been born again? That's what he does to people who come to know Christ as their personal Savior. The moment you step out of this door, he says, are you really saved? Was that real? Tries to question everything that God has ordained. That's why he is called the advocate of devil, is the advocate of evil. He is the enemy. He's the one that comes to steal and destroy, to steal the sense of grace and presence of God in your life. And so he tries to do that with Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God, swing one. But he missed. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word comes from the mouth of God. It's not going to work. I'm not going to presume on God. I am who I am. Jesus was not confused about that. He knew who he was. Do you know who you are? Are you a child of God? Do you know that for sure today? If Satan comes to you with the same kind of argument and says, if you're really a Christian, if you're really a follower of Jesus Christ, then you must do this or that or the other. No, Jesus knew who he was. He was not tempted by Satan. So Satan's swing at him missed. And verse 9, the devil says, okay, that didn't work. I'll try something else. He says, all authority I will give to you. He says, okay, you're the Son of God, but I am the prince of this world. I'll give it to you. You see, the devil doesn't care. He doesn't care if Jesus wins the approval of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He doesn't care if the world is filled with the preaching and teaching of Jesus' word, as it is today. Every airway that goes around the world is filled with the message of hope. The gospel is reaching into the world today in ways that it never did. Satan doesn't care about that. Satan just simply didn't want Jesus to do anything that was God's plan. He didn't want Jesus to sacrifice himself and therefore give people a way of escape from Satan's network. He didn't want that to happen. Instead, he wanted everybody to bow down to Jesus as long as they stayed in his network. Strike two. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I don't care what you say to me. I'm not buying it. I belong to God." Satan has never swung and missed before, and now he's two strikes down. He tries the third strike. He brings Jesus to Jerusalem to set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. It's okay. You're a Christian? Well, all right. You're a Christian. You believe in God. God loves you. You're covered with his grace and mercy. It won't hurt you to have a little of this or have a little of that. It can't hurt you." I knew a pastor who got into that debate with Satan and lost it because he was in Houston, Texas. He had graduated from DTS with highest honors. They had great hopes for him. But this man thought that he could sin where other men couldn't because he could eat of the meat that was offered to idols while the others didn't have the faith to do it. He could do that. He could commit adultery. It was okay for him because he was strong. He bought this particular swing of the devil. The same identical swings that the devil had made against Adam and Eve, he bought. He bought that one. But Jesus didn't. Jesus did not presume upon God. He was not ambitious for himself. He was not confused about who he was. And so the devil struck out. Had to put it bad away. Said, "I'll come back another time." But you see, then Satan realized that if he couldn't break Jesus, he'd have to kill him. Isn't that what many people have done? You can't argue with the teachings of Jesus, and so you kill him. As far as you're concerned, he's dead. He's buried. Voltaire said, "He's dead. He'll never be anything. He's gone. Before my works cease out of my lips, memory will cease of Jesus." He believed that the Bible was doomed, that no one would ever buy it or read it. It is the number one seller in the world. More people read it than any. And in his last breath, from his deathbed, that old atheist came back to life for a moment. You know, we did today, we put people under drugs so that they can't tell us anything. They're all doped up when they die. But he wasn't, obviously. And he comes back and he's dying in his room in Paris, France. And suddenly he wakens and he says, "Oh no, oh no, no, it's true, it's true!" And then he died. His room has been used ever since as the major point for the distribution of Bibles to Western Europe. He didn't succumb. Jesus didn't succumb to the breaking. You know, there's a story about three airmen. They were all shot down during a war. And the first one came in under interrogation because they all survived. And under interrogation, he told everything they wanted to hear. He told them everything, not just his name, rank, and serial number. He told them everything because he couldn't endure the pain. And so they pulled in the second one, and he did the same. He told them everything. He didn't hold anything back. He told them every troop deployment. He told them everything. So they brought the third one in, and they began to torture him, and he said nothing. They tortured him, and he said nothing. And they kept on and kept on and kept on until they realized he would never say anything. Jesus was the one who would never, ever, ever succumb to Satan's temptations. No matter what you did to him, no matter how they tortured him upon the tree, he would never, ever turn back from what God had told him to do. So Jesus wouldn't stay dead. Satan underestimated him again. He just wouldn't stay there. I'm sure that right after Jesus died, there was a great, wonderful celebration in hell. But the demons were just going, "Yay, we finally got him." Then on the third day, they went, "Oops, not so fast." Because he arose. He arose. And when he arose, he gave every one of us who's been in Satan's network the opportunity to break out of that network and be transformed into a new creature, a standalone creature that was now grafted into Jesus' network, into a network of holiness. That sin that was planted in Adam and Eve was gone once and for all if you would just receive him as your Savior. Does that mean that you will not be tempted again? Nope. Satan still has his baseball bat. But the kind of temptation you face as a believer is different than the one that you faced before. It is different. Because now Satan comes to you directly. He comes directly at you with the kinds of three strategy strikes that he has against Jesus and against Adam and Eve when they were holy. Now he comes after you the same way. He comes after every man and woman, boy and girl, no matter where they are in the world, who professes Jesus Christ as their new server. You know, it's kind of like a tree. You can plant a tree that's diseased, and its roots are diseased, and its trunk is diseased, and its limbs are diseased, and the leaves are diseased, and it will always be diseased unless it is grafted into a tree that has the antidote within it. Jesus has the antidote to the virus that Satan placed in mankind. He has it in himself. And when Satan tempts you, as he will, as he tries to destroy you, as he will, you've only to remember the words of the one who saves you, who tells you that if and when Satan comes against you, to stand, and Satan will flee from you. To stand and put on the whole armor of God. To stand. To be firm in the Lord. He tells you to believe in him. Do you? Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus who was tempted? Jesus who was striped by the whip that came across his back? Jesus who took the nails that should have been yours and mine because the wages of sin are death. And we had that death DNA in us. Do you trust him? Even at death's door, do you trust him? Do you trust him for everything? For your life? For your living? Do you put your life in his hands? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give Jesus everything you have in life? Because he gave life to you. Jesus is that eternal tree of life that you couldn't eat from until you took in Christ. He holds up his body. He says, "This bread is my body." He says, "Take and eat." Why? Because by consuming Jesus, he becomes a part of you. And he becomes transformed in you. He says, "I and the Father will come and sup with you." We will be with you. I will break the virus of the network of sin. This far apart. Jesus was tempted. You will be tempted. Because you're a Christian, you will be tempted. If you're not a Christian, you're already in the network. You're already being tempted, and you're probably succumbing to every temptation that comes your way. As I was flipping channels yesterday, I realized how our culture has diminished itself because of that networking. They have a new program on. Naked Dates. Do you realize how corrupted your mind has to be to watch? And yet, that virus has consumed our world. The only way out of it is to become a standalone with Jesus Christ.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.